broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Now, there are some things that we can do right now. Last month,
I had... wasn't a dress code violation. It was a matter of, you know, for his own well-being.
Freedom! Freedom! They sure
I would ask why it's so secretive.
Pizza as that chicken.
Makes me so frustrated.
Yeah, world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, a radio show for patriots, by patriots. And every night we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. And remember, as we march together over the tops of the heads of imbeciles, liberals. Just when you hear the word liberal, you want to just step on someone's head. Huh? All right, so now that that's cleared up, 877-876 is the number, 877-876-7445. Coming on the show this very first hour is Pastor David Castorini with Castorini Youth Ministries as we talk about the CDC wanting to get rid of cigarette smoking altogether by the year 2020. How are they going to do that? Well, they're going to enlist, at least Pastor Castorini's going to tell us, and I've got Slapback in my headphones studio. Castorini's going to tell us that that's going to be done, at least in part, by employing the services of our ministers, of our clerics, of our religious leaders, that those are the people that can convince us that cigarette smoking is bad, that we should get off of cigarette smoking, and that the government is, in many ways, doing us a favor. And, you know, my feeling is this, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. I think it's a really sneaky way for the federal government, if that's what they're doing, to, you know, wind their way into our lives by having our minister or our preacher or our priest talk to us about it. So we'll find out about that coming up, and then we got more for you tonight. Don't worry about it. We're going to have Vernon Dozier coming up talking about gas prices. Vernon is not only a high school football coach, but a gas station owner in Glendale, California. He'll be talking to us about the high price of gas, the high price of freedom. A popular political blog faces harsh criticism for a post that called Trig Palin retarded and a byproduct of incest. And a Iowa college professor says F you to college Republicans. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WWRL 1600 in New York City and KZBI 94.5 FM in Elko, Nevada. Great to have you guys with us as we bring on Pastor Reverend Castorini. And Reverend, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, good.
And I know you're traveling between Los Angeles and Las Vegas this evening. It's good to have you with us. Everything okay out there?
It's going really good, Phil, and we're happy to be on with you, and thank you very much. God bless you.
All right. Now, I know that you are very intent on speaking out on behalf of the CDC, the federal government, in getting people to quit smoking, right?
That is correct, yes. And the reason, I think, is a reason that I think we can all relate to, and that is the fact that cigarette smoking is bad for you, but more than just speaking out against smoking, which we've had plenty of people doing, we're going to get rid of cigarette smoking by 2020. That's the goal of the Center for Disease Control. That's going to be our goal. That's going to be my goal when I speak on Sundays. When I speak to our congregation, I'm giving our homily or sermon. My goal is going to be to get people to quit smoking. I think everyone understands this, but we're going to have laws across this country, Phil, that are going to be exciting. I think people are going to appreciate the fact that these laws eliminating cigarette smoking will be a part of not just public places, but also private places, and will, at the same time, not be intrusive.
All right, now, before you keep going here, Pastor, with all due respect, you know, I know, because you told me, that it is your opinion the federal government's going to go a lot further in pushing its messages if it uses the clerics, if it uses religious leaders, if it uses ministers and preachers and so forth. Do you worry about being used, number one? And number two, are you worried about some blurring of the line between church and state?
No, Phil, I don't worry about blurring the line between church and state any more than some pastors might worry about blurring the line between church and state when they speak out against abortion or when they speak out against some of these other ungodly things that we practice as human beings. God knows why we do them. I'm speaking out against cigarette smoking primarily because it injures the health and the well-being of our congregation, members of our congregation. It injures the health and well-being of all people. And it's not just enough to get rid of cigarette smoking in public places. We've got to get rid of it in the private homes, in the private dwellings, in the private restaurants, and in stores and places that heretofore have been untouched by these laws.
And all right, so you're talking about getting rid of cigarette smoking in these attached dwellings, apartments?
Not just apartments, but single dwellings, unattached dwellings.
And so private homes?
In private homes as well, yeah.
So that is getting rid of no smoking in your house at all?
No smoking in your house at all, no. And let me tell you the reason for that. First of all, the cigarette smoke is going to get into the fabric. It's going to get into the materials of the home. It's going to get into the walls and could become injurious to anyone living there, either the family living there currently or family living there afterward. So if you don't smoke, that injurious material doesn't get into those walls, into the wood, into the other areas of the house that, you know, will absorb that, whether it's wood or it's particle board or something like that. Now, we don't want people smoking in homes, not only not to injure people, but also because the resale value of that house is going to go down. And if the resale value of that home goes down, that means that the neighborhood is not worth as much as it might have been. And the government sees an opportunity here to encourage the economic vitality of the community, and that is the economic vitality of real estate, so that with people not smoking.
All right, hold on for just a minute here, Pastor, because now we're getting into some areas that are really... Now I really got some questions here. Now you're telling me that the government wants to get involved in controlling the real estate prices to promote economic health, and one way of doing that is so that people do not smoke in the homes. And I will ask you again, you don't see that as too intrusive?
No, I don't see it as intrusive, Phil, because the message is being delivered by me. If it were being delivered by...
Well, what's the difference? Because you're a religious, because you're a pastor?
Because I'm a religious leader. I'm a congregational leader. I'm a spokesman for my congregation. I'm also one of the people who articulates the Word of God. And as one who articulates the Word of God, I'm an individual who represents God here on this earth. I am not God, but I can only represent God. Now, what better way to get people to alter their habits and to stop smoking in their home, stop injuring their children, and stop injuring the house itself so that you can sell it for a decent price and the neighborhood does not lose value, than your religious leader, your pastor, your reverend, the leader of your flock.
And so is the government coming to you and asking you, would you please speak on behalf of quitting smoking?
It was something that we put forward, myself and other members of diocesan and denominational religious leaders, mostly of the Pentecostal congregation, but there were others. And it was our idea that if we promoted this to our congregations, it would be better received.
And what are you getting in return?
You know something, Phil? I'm not getting anything in return. You know what I'm getting in return? I'm getting the feeling, the good feeling that I am getting people to quit smoking. And I'm getting people to quit smoking on behalf of the United States government as well, so that we'll have a healthier citizenry. And yes, so that we'll have better resale value on our homes, so that we can communicate better with each other. We have healthier workplaces. We have healthier children. I'm not getting anything, Phil, other than a healthier America. And I'm not getting anything other than, if you ask me, what am I getting? You're asking me in terms of material sense.
I'm asking you, what are you getting? Are you getting paid by the government? Are you getting anything to spread as a religious minister, to spread the message of the United States government?
Let's keep this in mind, Phil. Let's not separate it out. It's the Word of God that I'm spreading. I'm spreading the Word of God.
You're spreading the message of the United States government.
No, but I am spreading the Word of God. God does not want us to injure ourselves by using this tobacco. So it is a rare opportunity for anyone, including myself, to speak on behalf of God and the government at the same time. And we know that Jesus said, render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's and to God things that are God's. But we have a rare opportunity here where we see those two interests that are blended together. I'm invited to speak to government officials at dinners across this country where we can solidify our message.
All right, so what you're getting out of all of this is just the ability to speak to your congregation, other members of the American community, and say, don't smoke, and quit smoking in your homes, quit smoking in your offices, quit smoking around your children, quit smoking in your private residence, whether it's an attached dwelling or not, and you get nothing out of this.
I get nothing out of it, Phil, except healthy parishioners. They live longer. If you're asking me, what am I going to get out of it? I'm getting nothing out of it, Phil. There are two homes that are bordering our hermitage. Now, the hermitage is where my wife and I live. These two homes are on a piece of property that border our hermitage. They are currently the residences of two elderly couples who are members of our congregation. And they are cigarette smokers. So if you're asking me, what am I getting out of it? I would like to see those people quit smoking, because I can smell the cigarette smoke. The property that they're on is very, very valuable. And if you ask me, what am I getting out of it? I would like for them to, they're very old, so they're probably not going to be with us much longer. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here, Phil.
No. What are you getting out of it? I want to know.
I want you to understand something. What I'm getting out of it will be the use of that property, because they will pass on eventually, and it will be eminent domain and then sold to me. Now, why is that a good thing?
Hold on for a minute.
I'd like to answer the question why that's a good thing.
No, hold on for just a minute, because now you're telling me that you're speaking on behalf of not smoking for the government, and they're going to eminent domain and condemn two pieces of property that will be sold back to you, I'm sure, at what?
At market value, Mr. Hendry. I'm not getting any discount at all. At all.
And what happens to the older people that live in these places?
They are elderly people. They are at the end of their lives. They will be taken care of by our hermitage. And
they'll be taken care of by your hermitage.
Phil, healthy parishioners live longer. And when they live longer, they donate more money. I don't need the money. I don't need the property. I'm doing this as a favor to our congregation in general. We need a youth center. We need a larger hermitage, a larger home for my wife and myself. And
all right, so here we find the ulterior motives. And this is the thing that I was afraid of. You know, Pastor Castorini.
No, this is not an ulterior motive, Phil. And please, keep an open mind. Keep your eye on God.
Pastor Castorini, there is an ulterior motive here when you say to me that you want to get people to quit smoking cigarettes, and you're going to go across the country on behalf of the government and spread this message, and it turns out that you want cigarette smoking finished everywhere, and in exchange you're getting some property, eminent domain. You don't see that as an ulterior motive?
I certainly do not, Phil, because the property is going to be sold to me. It's going to be sold to me market value. It's not going to be given to me. The elderly people that are living in that home will be taken care of by our hermitage. This is for our congregation. It is not for me.
What is it? You said it's for the hermitage. That means it's going to be your living quarters.
It's going, whoever the pastor of this church is, it will be their living quarters. Right now it's me.
Well, right now it's you, but then later down the road it could be somebody else.
Yes, that's correct.
These are ulterior motives. What I'm saying here is that you are working on behalf of the government in your sermons. You're telling people don't smoke cigarettes, and you at the same time are getting I got to call it a kickback, Pastor.
Well, Phil, that kind of an insult, I hope God forgives you. I represent God on this earth. I am a pastor. I speak the word of God, and as such, I do represent God on this earth. And I know that God does not want us to smoke. I'm an advocate for a smoke-free America. I am not going to be getting that property for free.
All right, I got to take a break, and we'll get back to this, all right?
But I want to finish up some points I was making.
All right, that's fine, but 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show here. Your phone calls for our guest, Reverend David Castorini, coming up. He's an advocate for a smoke-free America by 2020, which is exactly what the CDC wants. But does he have ulterior motives? Are you comfortable with his cooperation with the government to push this idea? Should religious leaders cooperate with the government and combine their efforts with the government to push a government message? But he says, no, it's really a religious message. It's a religious message of health. And as a representative of God, that's the message he's pushing. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, now here are the points I want to make. First of all,
the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Because of what you did today. All right, because I was on that freeway. Welcome back, our world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Pastor David Castorini, who is involved in a program. I don't know what you would call it, but I know that you said that a group of interdenominational pastors, reverends from a variety of churches, some most Pentecostal, I guess, are advocating on behalf of the CDC and giving up cigarette smoking. Now, I'm just telling you that when you combine a commercial pitch with a sermon,
Phil, it's not a commercial pitch. I wish you would. I really do wish, Phil, that you would open your heart to God and let the truth speak. It's not a commercial pitch.
It is a commercial pitch, Pastor, when you say that you're pitching on behalf of the CDC and you're going to get yourself some property eminent domained, and you're going to be able to, you know, expand your living quarters.
These are not my living quarters. I told you this is the Hermitage.
All right, let's talk about meeting President Obama. Did you meet him today?
I was part of a contingent of individuals that came from the San Gabriel Valley to Sony Studios. Some of us were religious, some of us were business leaders. I was a part of a contingent. I shook the man's hand, and I was excited to meet the president. I did meet the first lady, and we were a part of a Sony Studio Q&A that took place, a town hall, and we have been invited to stay at the White House in June. And none of this, Phil, has anything to do with any commercial opportunity. It's just that I admire the man very much. And
were you given these invitations to come to the White House and given this invitation to go to Sony today because of your work with the CDC?
No, I was not. If that was the reason, no one said it to me. All I know is I got...
Well, you know full well that if you're playing ball...
I'm not, Phil, putting up playing ball. I am a representative of God Almighty on this earth. As such, it is my job to get the human family to live better together and to live more healthy together. And to that end, why would I not cooperate with the government in getting that message out?
Why would you not cooperate, especially when you're getting property eminent domained?
I'm not going to have any more comment on that. I've commented on that. I think you're turning that into something very ugly, but I'm not going to have more comment on that.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Junior in Louisville, Kentucky, you're on with Pastor David Castorini. Go ahead, please.
Yes. You know, I understand that you're supposed to be spreading the message of God. You know, that shouldn't have anything to do with the federal government.
Yes, sir.
Their agenda is one thing. Your agenda should be another, regardless whether it's the same or not. You are crossing the line between church and state.
If it is the same, though, Junior, then why not say it? You know,
here's the thing, you know, just like what Phil was talking about on, you know, the properties that you're talking about, how can they have a decision?
You guys are leaning on that.
That should have
you're leaning on that too much.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear what the man's comment... I want to hear Junior's comment. I didn't get to hear his comment. Go ahead. Start it again, sir, because Reverend.
Oh, he's leaning on that too heavy.
Go ahead, sir.
Why should the properties have anything to do with it? If you're spreading the word of God, that should be in that period. You should be able to find enough deals on your own. I understand it's the same message, and that's fine and dandy, but it's just like this, you know. People don't eat healthy either in this country. You know, does that mean that you need to try to take and limit what people can buy on what they can eat just because they're not eating healthy? You know, that's a very good question.
Yes, sir, that's a good question. But let's remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he said to the people, smash those golden calves. What did Moses do? He grabbed a hold of the physical property of those people and he destroyed it. Now, you could say the same thing about David Castorini. When I come down from the mount, God tells me, and I take your cigarettes and I step on them or put water on them, whatever.
Look, I'm a Christian, and I am a smoker, and I know that it's not good for me. Okay, that is my choice. That's something that I have to live with in the end, either way I do it, whether I quit smoking or whether I continue to smoke.
Somebody
has the right to tell me that I have to quit or that I would have to smoke either way.
Or I would also say, or blackmail you by religious message either, Junior. I would also add that. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Back to David Gasparini.
Blackmail.
Phil Hendry.
Lousy.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Vernon Dozier next hour on gas prices here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, where every single night we are with you until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. With me is Pastor David Gasparini, and Pastor Gasparini is talking with me about his efforts and the efforts of other members of the religious leadership in this country to get us to quit smoking, which sounds like a laudable thing. I quit smoking, Pastor.
And you did, Phil, and I followed that very carefully. And God bless you for doing that.
Thank you, but it was hard. It was not hard, I should say, because I had pneumonia. But let me say this. You are talking about speaking on behalf of God, and you are then saying that you're going to go to the White House this summer and spend the night with your wife at the invitation of President Obama. It's very difficult for people to believe that you are speaking this message of quitting cigarette smoking and at the same time getting these favors from the White House. Do you understand?
I do understand, Phil, but I wanted to say that President Obama and members of the CDC have reached out to me, and they have said, you are doing a good job, Reverend Castorini. You're doing a great job to help get rid of cigarette smoking among our young people, among all the people. And you know that for the first time in a long time, someone is appreciating me and my efforts on behalf of spreading the word of God. Now, I know that Jesus Christ was persecuted. I don't compare myself to Jesus. But in many ways, like Jesus, I was persecuted and am persecuted, even by my own congregation, where I'm pushed around, I'm called names. I was involved in a very unfortunate, and I have asked God's forgiveness, and he has forgiven me. I've asked my wife's forgiveness, and she has forgiven me. But I was involved in a very unfortunate liaison with a young lady in our congregation, and since that time, I have been treated with utter disrespect. I have been called names. I have been physically pushed around. She is the daughter, by the way, Phil, of a very, very wealthy man who's a large shareholder of, guess what? R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. So this door swings both ways, Phil.
Wait. Hold the phone, man. You're having an affair. You had an affair with the daughter of a large shareholder of a tobacco company, and you're trying to get me to believe that this is all altruistic on your part?
It most certainly is altruistic. What I'm trying to say to you is I am being persecuted because I had this affair with a young lady whose father is involved in a tobacco company. It has nothing to do with me wanting to get back at him. It has nothing to do with that at all. And
so you didn't get involved in this not smoking campaign because of this father discovering that you were having an affair with his daughter. You just did it because you wanted to be a nice guy.
I did it because I was asked by the government to help out. I did it because we need a larger hermitage, so yes. And because President Obama appreciated us enough to invite us to the White House. But you know, that's just simply him saying, I appreciate you. And I said, well, thank you, because I have been treated like I am a leper in my own community. I've been treated like the leper in the Bible. I've been pushed out. I've been drugged down, as the Bible tells us, drugged down and pushed out. And I need a little help. I need a little Lazarus, a little bit of that Lazarus stuff.
877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show, that Lazarus stuff. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Nathan in Tampa, Florida. Nathan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
How you doing? I think it has to do with the justification behind quitting smoking. If we're a capitalist nation and they can prove that my smoking hurts the public, then I can go along with that. But if it's because of healthcare reasons and my smoking costs the government money, I think that's a socialist objective, and we need to denounce that to begin with. And in regards to the religious context, I don't think it should have anything to do with it. The pastor should take the route of just another citizen, lobby like any other citizen would, and he'd have better effect there. I'm not going to comment on his justification or drive behind this. That's a whole can of worms that opened after I called.
Well, I will say this to the young man. I'm doing God's work. It could be the government's work, if you want to see it that way, but I see it as God's work because I don't think God believes that we should injure ourselves, especially the temple of God, which is the body. And tobacco is nothing more than an injurious habit. And so what I'm saying to you is that God wants you to quit smoking cigarettes. God wants you to take care of yourself.
Well,
and by 2020, it just so happens that by 2020, we're going
to
get
rid of
cigarettes.
You just need to go through political channels to accomplish that goal. You're telling me your reasoning behind it.
Yes, sir.
That's fine. But you still need to go through the same channels as everyone else. And
I am doing that. And
take religion out
of
it. As long as you're going through as a citizen, who is a voting citizen, then that's how you accomplish things in the United States. Don't bring religion into it. That's your motive, not the end to me.
But it is about religion because I can't make it not be about religion. My congregation expects me to be Jesus Christ because he's long gone, and they need a symbol of that. So I have to be Jesus. And
well, that's not your job to be Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Your job is to be a whatever. I mean, like this guy was saying, you know, and what about this eminent domain thing? That's not religious.
It is absolutely. The eminent domain, Phil, is simply two heavily smoking old people stinking up where I live. And we need that property to expand our hermitage.
Well, you know what? You're getting an eminent domain because you're playing ball with the government, and that, to me, is an ulterior motive. Thank you very much, Nathan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Pastor David Castrini, you know what I'm saying, right? That is an ulterior motive?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I know you brought it up last, and I think it's funny that you keep bringing up this property being eminent domain. It's very funny, Phil, that you think that me getting these two pieces of property, eminent domain, and then me being able to buy them at market value somehow break for me.
Didn't you get these pieces of property, eminent domain, by the government because you're playing ball in getting rid of people, or at least trying to get rid of smoking among your congregation?
I'm not going to comment on that because I told you it's trivial. I'm commenting more on a larger issue, and the larger issue is just as Moses came down from the mountain and smashed the physical property of a sinful people, so I am coming down from the mountain and smashing the physical property of sinful people. And what have I gotten in return? I've gotten abused. I've gotten driven from Canaan. I've been driven from Canaan. And I am wandering in the desert. And what I'm asking for, and when the President of the United States and the CDC and members of the government are the only friends that I've got in the world because my own congregation spits on me and lifts its leg to me, then I'm going to go and I'm going to spend the night at the White House. And it's a really a sad thing, Phil, when I have spent my whole life trying to do my very best for my congregation, for groups of people, religious or otherwise, in my community. And I am laughed at. I'm called a piece of you-know-what. When I'm walking into the church, people will bump into me, physically bump into me. And
yeah, but this is, are you saying that this is all because of this affair that you had with this young lady?
As far as I can tell, it's because the father of this young lady has instigated this because he knows that I speak the word of God, and he is a sinner as a shareholder with R.J. Reynolds.
I'll tell you what.
Not boy anything, Phil. This man is a sinner because he's a shareholder with R.J. Reynolds, and I had sex with his daughter, and I got God's forgiveness for that. I had my wife's forgiveness for that. And the congregation, however, they don't think God's good enough. They have to give their forgiveness. And as far as I'm concerned, my own congregation is living in mortal sin because they won't take God's word for it and forgive me. They have to have the ego to forgive me.
Well, your congregation is reacting with outrage because you had sex with someone other than your wife.
Excuse me, are you familiar with the... I didn't know that you knew the story.
Well, you're telling me the story right now. What am I saying that's wrong? You had sex with this woman. She wasn't your wife. She's the daughter of a guy who has a lot of money tied up with a tobacco company. And you've taken that as an opportunity to say the guy's got it in for you because you're anti-tobacco. The guy's got it in for you because you had sex with his daughter, because you're his preacher, and because you're a married guy. Now, as far as people bumping into you, or what are they doing? You're saying they're physically assaulting you?
They do things like push me and shove me and treat me as if I'm a leper in my own church.
And pushing and shoving you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They treat me like I'm a leper in my own church. So if I say that Barack Obama is a good man for allowing me to sleep at the White House, to spend the night at the White House with my wife, if I say Barack Obama is a good man because I went and I had lunch with him today at Sony Studios, I'm saying that, Phil, because he's the only one who gives, excuse me for saying this because I believe in God, but I've got to speak plainly, who gives a damn. Barack Obama, it feels good to say that. I believe in God Almighty, but it feels good to say damn, because I believe that members of my congregation are going to be damned to hell for what they did to me.
And you don't understand their outrage, you having sex with this woman.
It just doesn't equate. It's not the same thing. God forgave me. My wife forgave me. Why can't they forgive me? Let's move on. President Obama has had me as a guest. He's the only one. I'll take the president's friendship if my congregation, and a lot of them I know are going to start to use the word the kids use, suck up when they find out that Obama and I... that I'm going to go to the White House. They'll start sucking up.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know whether they're going to suck up or not, but I think that you do owe your congregation some explanation and to offset whatever childishness is going on. Here is Mona in Wichita, Kansas. Mona, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor David Castorini. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. It's Nona, N-O-N-A,
yes,
but I'd like to make a comment to the
yes,
pastor.
Ma'am.
I feel like he is being extremely judgmental. To say that you yourself, that you need to open your heart to God. I don't know where you stand with God, but it really is not his judgment to make that. And if he's going to make that comment to you when I don't agree with him, and I happen to be a strong Christian, then I feel like
very
he's
good.
Being judgmental. Wait
very
a minute,
good.
I'm not done. He's being judgmental.
I'm congratulating you.
No,
on,
you're not
I'm
letting
being,
me finish.
I'm congratulating you.
You're not letting me finish. You're not
let her
letting
finish.
Me finish.
Let her finish.
Stop. Stop.
Say Obama.
Yeah, you
Obama
are being,
invited me to the White
I'm
House.
I'm not talking
the
about
White
Obama.
House.
I'm talking about
We're not
about
talking
you.
About Obama.
I'm talking
Go ahead,
about
Nona.
You.
Go ahead. Go
I'm
ahead, Nona.
I'm talking about your self-righteous, judgmental attitude towards other people who are Christians who don't believe the way you do, and I don't believe that we have a right to tell people what they can do in their homes, and I don't believe you have a right to judge Phil and say that his heart is not open to God. I also think that you are angry because of what has happened to you, and you're taking it on people who you don't like their habits. And I think
no,
the only way you can change behavior in people is to focus on the heart. And once people's hearts are changed towards God, then God can work in them to quit smoking. But it is not
right.
your job. And you are being very
you.
Judgmental and hypocritical. And I don't appreciate
I
it. And I don't appreciate the way you are talking to Phil and judging him.
Ma'am, I think Mr. Henry would admit to you.
I cannot understand you.
I'm sorry. I'll speak louder. I think Mr. Henry would admit to you that he is about as perverse and base a human being when it comes to
oh,
his,
I think
what
that,
are you talking
I
about?
Think that is, I
no,
think that
he is. He's a radio
I
personality.
God,
Ma'am,
I think
he's a radio
God
personality.
Is totally
he's a degenerate.
With your attitude,
he is a,
and you're not
are you
even
a drug
hearing
user,
me.
Phil?
Hey, wait
you don't
a second.
Want to hear me.
Let me speak
no
here.
Right to judge
David, that's
gentleman.
Unfair. Yeah, unfair. What do you mean, drug user? You know, I could sue you for that.
I didn't
that
use
is libelous.
The word drug user.
No, not you. I'm not you. I'm talking to the pastor. He said that I was a drug user.
Phil,
I don't care what
person.
He said about you.
You're
I'm
a radio
about
personality,
what you're
Phil.
About Phil.
And the radio personality that I'm talking to right now, Phil Henry, is a sexual degenerate.
You have no right to judge him. It's not your job to judge him as a pastor. It's your job to change the heart. Let God use you to change the heart of other people through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to try to make people quit smoking.
Right.
That's God's job.
I have to do it. I've got to do it because God...
You owe Phil and you owe the rest of the Christian people in this country an apology for you. For your arrogance. For your arrogance. You are arrogant and judgmental.
But what do you say to a congregation of people that bumps into me and hits, you know, tries to backhand me in my genitals when I'm going up to the front of the...
What are you talking about?
I got backhanded.
You are, you know, you...
In the genitals.
I think you have issues that go far beyond the present one we're talking about. I think you need some special help. I feel sorry for you.
I'm trying to tell you that I asked God's forgiveness, and he forgave me.
But
I asked my wife's forgiveness, and she forgave me.
You're being judgmental. Would you like me to spend an hour telling you about the crap I've been through? No, we don't want to do that.
No,
I'm telling
cares.
You that if you are
but
saying
no
you are a minister,
you.
That you need to preach, you need to help people understand that only the power of Jesus can change their hearts, and then they will try to take care of their bodies, maybe.
Yes.
But you have no right to judge Phil like that. You don't know if he's a believer or not.
But you have to understand, ma'am, after all that happened, I'm walking up to
the sermon. I don't care what happened
to
you.
Someone backhanded me in the genitals.
I don't care what happened to you. You are a leader. You are the sheep. You're supposed to take care of your issues and lead the sheep. That's what you're supposed to do. Go get some help and then go back to the pulpit.
What are you talking about?
Go get some help.
What are you talking about?
Go get some help and then go back to the pulpit and then get back on the radio. I'm insulted that you would refer.
I need to forgive them. And forgive me. I need to forgive them. And Phil, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you
a psychiatric nurse.
You're on the radio.
I'm a psychiatric nurse. I just got off work and I think you have a lot of problems. I'm sorry. But that's about all I
that's
have to say.
That's a very
say.
Easy
so,
out, ma'am. That's
God,
a very easy
you know,
out, ma'am, to call a man
I'm,
crazy.
I think you...
Mr. Hendry is a radio personality, and as such, it's very likely he's a sexual degenerate. And
Boy.
I have
boy,
no more to say.
Boy.
I have no more to say. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much, Nona. It's Nona, not Mona.
No,
thank you very much.
Phil for letting me have a little...
Thank you.
Why does she thinks you're me? She says that she's a psychiatric nurse, and yet she thinks you're me, and I'm you.
A lot of people get confused with people on the phone. They don't know what they're listening to. She's so angry, and you're making these comments that are absolutely outrageous because I'm a radio personality. I'm a sexual degenerate.
No, Phil, I was making assumptions. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You're wrong, okay?
Well, that's going to make a lot of young women very unhappy.
Will you hold the line? 877-876-7445. Pastor David Castorini, who's on this program speaking on behalf of the Center for Disease Control and Eliminating Smoking in the United States by 2020, and he is advocating this from the pulpit. He's advocating this in his church. It's a religious message as far as he's concerned. It's a spiritual message to not smoke, to keep the body pure, to respect the body. But we find out that he's really doing this more and more on behalf of the government. He's got some property that got eminent domain, so he's going to get that. He got invited to sleep at the White House this summer with his wife, Cassie, President Obama's invitation. Obama's the only guy that appreciates him. His congregation is hassling him and slapping him backhanded and, you know. 877-876-7445. That lady is right. There may be a psychiatric evaluation in his future. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier, next hour on the rising gas prices. Boy, every 3-4 years, rising gas prices. Every 4-5 years, rising gas prices. Every decade, rising gas prices. Well, one of these days, and it won't be long, going to drive back down and where it once belonged. I guess that's a blues song, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, back here with David Castorini, who is the pastor of Castorini Youth Ministries, as we talk about his efforts and the efforts of others to eliminate cigarette smoking. You've turned it into a religious pitch. I don't know that I have any problem with that, David. What I have a problem with is what I consider to be a very suspect relationship you have with the government on this.
Well, you have turned this. I'm going to tell you something. You have slandered me.
No, I have not. You slandered me with this religious degenerate thing. 877-876-PHIL. We got to get to a phone call. There's so much that I want to talk to you about. Here is, I believe it's Micheline in Bakersfield. Go ahead, please. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Listening to the things that the pastor or minister was saying, and if I was in the congregation, I would actually leave your church because you, I don't know you personally, but what I'm hearing from you, you're very hypocritic and you're very biased. And for you to say, okay, I've committed a sin, but then you're saying, well, everyone should forgive me because I asked for forgiveness. Saying that you're sorry and then doing all these other things that you're doing, it goes completely against what your religion speaks of. If you want your your neighbors...
Let's break it down. I had an affair. I'm sorry I did. I asked my wife's forgiveness. I asked the pastor's forgiveness. Or excuse me, I asked God. I didn't ask the young lady's forgiveness because I didn't have the time. I needed to make sure that I got all the right forgiveness.
But, sir, what I'm trying to get at is you asked everyone forgiveness. Many people probably did forgive you, but the way...
But the other ones forgave me Indian burns. The other ones gave me nookies.
El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It really wasn't a dress code violation. It was a matter of, you know...
I want to see the players start hitting. And I want to see the organization actually...
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem. Every time it happens...
Freedom!
I am a clown.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This is a show for patriots, by patriots, and each and every single solitary night here, Monday through Friday and Saturday, locally in Los Angeles, we walk across the softening and pointed heads of liberals and others whose view of reality and their take on the world has never worked and will never work. Even the liberals that they admire are nothing like this weak, ineffective, and confused bunch that we have these days. We have to continue. We don't have to take our country back. We already have our country. I don't like listening to these people say, take our country back. I don't want anybody telling me that I don't have a grip on my... I got my country well in hand. And you do, too. You do, too. Don't let them turn you into, like you're chained to a galley oar someplace, you know. No. This is America. You and I have our country well in hand. We just need to stand up. You know, I would never quote a commie unless the commie had something to say that I could take out of context and I could apply to what we're discussing here this evening, and I could even say it's rather admirable to hear that particular quote in the context of this evening. And so let me quote Mao Zedong, when on October the 1st of 1948, when their little commie revolution was finished over there, he did say something that I think applies to the American people, if and when we choose the proper date. He said, today is the day that the Chinese people stood up. No. It's not taking our country back. We've got our country well in hand. It's standing up. That's all we have to do. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Gas prices keep going up and our wallets keep getting hit. Now the president says he's going to look into it. How about that? Joining us this hour to discuss the situation is Vernon Dozier, And don't forget to visit our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass. And it is there that you will get live streaming video of the show, Phil TV in HD. It is there that you will get the thousands and thousands of hours of audio archives that go back many, many years, the largest archive of any single radio show in the history of the world. It is there that you get the daily podcast. It's there that you get the classic Phil podcast. It's there that you get the news feed and the blogs. And it's also there, by the way, that we have our merchandise store and our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show t-shirts are in, as well as our shot glasses, our coffee mugs, and, of course, our legacy best-of CDs from 1997 through 2005. So what are you waiting for? Get over to our website, and if nothing else, hit the merchandise shop and get the brand-new t-shirt, the Phil Hendry Show t-shirt, in time for summer. And I was going to say in time for Mother's Day. Are you going to lay one of those on your mother? Is that...
Yeah, well, you can like a shot glass.
Yeah, get a shot glass for Mother's Day. Anyway, and we are going to have yet another item that we'll be rolling out before summertime. Very, very apropos for the summer months. 877-876-7445. We'll get Vernon Dozier on the line here. And Vernon, of course, is a educator from Belmar Academy in the great city of Glendale, California. But he's also, along with members of his family, the owner of a service station, has been in the service station business there in the Glendale-Burbank area for some 20 years. President Obama announced today that the Justice Department is assembling a team to root out cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might be contributing to $4 a gallon plus gasoline. We are going to make sure that no one is taking advantage of the American people for their own short-term gain, Obama said at a town hall-style meeting at a renewable energy plant in Reno, Nevada. I'm wondering, and I'm being very honest now, I'm wondering, how do you do that? And I'm sure there must be some process or a combination of processes, but I also know that business being business, you know, and these business people, they find a lot of different ways to get things done and to hide things. Here is the president saying we need a comprehensive energy strategy to deal with the high price of gasoline in the future.
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem. Every time it happens, every time gas prices go up like this, like clockwork, suddenly politicians look around and they discover high gas prices, and they're shocked. And they get in front of TV and they say, you know, we've got a three-point plan to bring gas down to $2 a gallon. And then when gas prices go down, nothing ever happens. And we're back into the same old patterns. And we don't have a comprehensive energy strategy for the future.
There are some short-term solutions to potentially keeping gas prices from spiraling out of control. Obama outlines them here.
Now, there are some things that we can do right now. Last month, I asked my attorney general to look into any cases of price gouging so we can make sure nobody's being taken advantage of at the pump. Today, I'm going to go a step further. The Attorney General is putting together a team whose job it is to root out any cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might affect gas prices. And that includes the role of traders and speculators. We're going to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of American consumers.
All right, and finally, AAA Senior Travel Manager Garrett Townsend says customers are actually not canceling summer travel plans due to the high gas prices.
You know, interestingly enough, people are not opting to fly rather than drive. You know, you consider a family of four, tickets and fuel surcharges and luggage charges, it's probably cheaper for them to get in the car and drive, even though the gas prices are higher. You know, it may be reasonable to say that sometime during the summer, you know, we're going to hit the $4 mark. That's possible. Because we see where we're at now, and we're not even at the peak summer driving season. But we really feel that even at that point, it's not where people are going to just put off their plans or cancel their plans. They're just going to make adjustments.
Vernon Dozier joining us, not only a high school, as I mentioned, board member at Belmar and educator, but also your family has had two service stations on brand there in Glendale, right?
Yes, that's correct. So my father bought them in the late 1950s, and my brother and I both took over the operation of the one of them, my father had the other, in 1979, and then my father died in the late 1980s, and my brother and I took that over. We also have a sister who, her husband has been off and on with operating the service stations, and then we have a younger brother who is developmentally disabled, but has also...
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your father.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Phil. It was quite a long time ago, but...
And your disabled brother helps out?
He does quite a bit, yeah. And but it's something that I get involved in during the summer months because of school, because of my primary profession, which is as a school teacher. And so my brother Dave has been, and his wife have been, the primary operators of these gas stations.
Now, I know you don't want to mention the brand of gasoline that you sell for reasons that I understand, but these are two. I know the area, and Glendale is a populous Los Angeles suburb, and Brand, of course, is a feeder. This is a feeder boulevard down to the freeway, so people commuting in and out of town, you must get a lot of business.
We do, yes, we do. And
what is the reaction to, right, if, can you tell me right now what you're averaging?
In terms of the...
In terms of the gasoline prices?
Our premium is, right now, our premium is $4.79, and when we get the lower grades, $4.19. And we have a unleaded at 89 octane, which is at 429. And we have diesel fuel as well. But I can tell you, Phil, that people don't like the prices. Of course, they don't like the prices. I don't like the prices. And I can be very honest with you and tell you that I don't like the prices. And as much pain as a consumer is in right now, I share every bit of it. It hurts me. As the owner of a service station, and you know, a lot of these people are my neighbors. A lot of these people are my, people that I know from the school. They're the parents of kids that I teach. So we know each other very well here in the Glendale community. And to see what my neighbors are going through, having to spend this kind of money, it's very, very tough. And
when you say that this really hurts you, now, you can control price to a certain point, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, but it's not that much. You're not really going to... My hands are tied because, obviously, I need to make a profit. There's no sense in being in business without making a profit. And, obviously, if you see, you know, the opportunity... Obama was sitting here, and I'm glad that you played those Obama clips, Phil, because there's no end to that man's manipulation and how he lies about things. He's sitting there saying, we're going to find out about, price gouging. What is he going to do? The idea the federal government is going to stick its hand into my pocket, just like he's sticking its hand into everybody's pocket that's listening to me right now.
Well, when he talks about price gouging, he's talking about people taking advantage of the disruption, for instance, in the shipment of oil from Libya, shall we say, when we had the disruptions from Iraq. You know what I mean?
Well, of course I know what you mean, but what do you call price gouging? When you're a businessman, and you see that there is an opportunity for you to, as my uncle used to say, make a beautiful dollar. This was his way of saying, make hay while the sun shines. But he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, so he would say, instead of him saying make hay while the sun shines, because he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, he'd say, let's go make a beautiful dollar. Well, it's the same thing. You know.
All right, well, that's fine, and I'm not interested in the ethnicity of the man. I understand that you want to...
I only brought it up to make a... I'm not an anti-Semite, Phil, please understand. But I'm saying is that if I have the chance to make money, am I supposed to say no to that? Well, I think everyone listening is going to say, of course you're not. But I feel their pain. I don't like to have to hear them complain about it. I wish that people would... I've got the message the first time, but when they're coming in every day and saying the price of gas is too high, I have to keep saying to them, I understand. It begins to annoy me a little bit. Now, the average price of gasoline in California is $4.19. Now, I know that...
I want to go back to this thing about when people are whining, it bothers you.
I didn't use the word whine.
Well, when people complain, it bothers you. Why would it bother you if it's bothering you as well? You know, in other words, the high price of gasoline, you don't like.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it, and I've told them. I said, this is painful for me to have to charge you this kind of price. It's painful for me because I know you've got children to take to school. I know you've got people to take to the hospital. You've got doctor's appointments. You have to get to the grocery store. It hurts me to have to charge these prices. But I heard you the first time. You know, there's an old saying, our mother, I heard you the first time.
Well, let me ask you a question here. So, in other words, it's very redundant.
Oh, every time they come in, oh, boy, this price of gas.
Well, isn't that something you should expect, though? You know,
in what way?
Well, in what way? Because you've got a situation, a situation in this country for the cost of gasoline, which is blood in this country. It is absolute blood. It always cracks me up when people say no war for oil. Of course there's war for oil. Without oil, the country stops. You know it and I know that. Okay?
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because some people think that we don't need it, you know.
When people are complaining about the price of gasoline, it seems like a very legitimate complaint because the price of that is astronomical. It drives prices up. It's one of the main reasons every time we have high cost of fuel in this country, one of the main reasons why we endure these economic downturns or recessions or depressions, if you will, because of the price of food and fuel. And food oftentimes will go up in price because the fuel goes up in price, okay? So this is what I'm talking about. And so you getting annoyed at the customers for, quote, complaining, it seems to me that's the only thing they have left.
No, it is not the only thing. You know what, Phil, you make good sense, but that's one area I can't give on. I will not give in on having to stand there and listen to them crying about the price of gasoline. I already told them that I agree with them. And when they whine like that, it reminds me of a time in my childhood. I'll just tell this very quick story. When my younger brother was born, and my father and mother found out that he was developmentally disabled, they put me in charge of him. And to hear the whining of people saying the price of gas is too high reminds me of my parents telling me to wipe my brother's rear end, comb my brother's hair, and it reminds me of a time when I was put in charge of him. Now, I have done my duty to my brother to the point where he works here at this service station. But I don't have to keep listening to it. And every time these people come in and complain to me about the price of gasoline, it reminds me of that.
All right, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show here. Your calls with our guest, Vernon Dozier. He wants customers to stop complaining about the high price of gas, and he claims it hurts him, too, by charging you more. He doesn't want to have to do that. What's your take on this? If he cared that much, why wouldn't he lower the prices? 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The high price of gasoline. We have one service station operator on the line, Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, who agrees with all of us that we're paying too much, but there isn't anything he can do about it. And I think when we hear someone say that, Vernon, when we hear a service station owner say there's nothing that he can do about it, that's what I think Obama's talking about.
Well, hold on for a minute. This is Barack Obama. Now, let's remember one thing that we all agree on. And
you hold on, because what you're going to do now is tell me, well, Barack Obama, he's full of crap, so let's all get together and bash Barack Obama. But the fact is that I want to ask, I asked you, can you not control the price of gasoline to the point where it's not going to kill us?
I cannot do that. I cannot do it because I have a family. I've got a developmentally disabled brother. I've got a wife, just as you do, Phil. Would you lower your price? Do you hear anybody out there lowering their prices? All of the people that are calling into your show, are they lowering their prices for the services that they render? I am in pain. I feel the pain of the consumer. It hurts me to raise the price of gas, but I've got to do it. Because this is an opportunity that only comes along every few years, as you yourself said.
And so the opportunity to raise the price of gasoline comes along, and you must take it, even though it hurts you.
Well, you're minimalizing and minimizing what I'm saying. I mean, you're making it sound trivial. This is a deadly serious business, Phil, of retail and knowing what the price is and knowing how to charge the right price. But again, I'll say it to you. Barack Obama is the one who has run this economy straight into the ground, and I don't see anybody, you almost like are singing his praises.
All I'm saying is that Barack Obama is the guy that brought up the price gouging thing. Now, when people come into your gas station to buy gasoline, when people come into your gas station to buy your products, and they complain, you don't like that. And
because I've been hearing it my whole life. I've been listening to people complain about the price of gasoline since I was a kid. When my father first bought these gas stations, I remember people coming in and bitching about the price of gas when it was 33 cents a gallon. And I'm telling people out there in America today, I know you're paying a lot for a gallon of gasoline, but think about this. If you're paying $4.19 for a gallon of gasoline, in 10 years, it's going to be 10 bucks a gallon. In 20 years, it's probably going to be, you know, whatever, 15, 20 bucks a gallon.
And well, wait, in 20 years, the hope is, the belief is, the prayer is, in 20 years, we'll no longer be reliant on fossil fuels. We'll no longer be reliant on oil for refined gasoline. We'll be on to some other energy source.
Well, that's all well and good, Phil. Don't put me in that. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen in 20 years anymore. It's going to happen 20 years ago. So I'm saying, when you look at the price of a gallon of gasoline at $4.19, don't come to me and complain and cry about how it's killing you, because all that does is grate on my nerves. It sounds like my parents telling me to change my brother's diaper. That's what I...
You know, your personal problems are your personal problems. I just got done talking to David Castorini. This is a disingenuousness, okay? You claim to care about the consumer, but you don't. You're making money, and you are making a comfortable amount of money, and you're telling me you care about consumers, but in point of fact, I don't hear you care about them at all. I think you are just, you're pretending like, oh, wow, I'm a businessman, I don't like Barack Obama, and I really hate doing this to people. What the hell am I supposed to do? I got to make a profit.
Well, so in other words, you're calling me a liar.
I'm not calling you a liar, if you want to put that word on it. I'm saying you're disingenuous. If you really cared about consumers, you'd lower the price of gas.
I want to lower the price of gas. I wish to God I could lower the price of gas. As God is my witness, and you talked about Mr. Castorini then on the program, I'm a Christian, and I stand before God as my witness, I wish I could lower the price of gasoline, but I can't do it. I'm not built that way. No good businessman looks at an opportunity like this and says, I think I'll go backwards on the price. You might as well do what those men were doing many years ago, whether you would self-mutilate with a knife. You know,
all right, hold on. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show. The price of gas. Is it coming down or not?
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier, at number 877-876-7445. And we're talking tonight about the high price of gasoline and Mr. Dozier's two service stations on Brand Avenue in Glendale, California. But all over this country, our service station operators... There are tanker truck drivers. There's all kinds of people dependent upon gasoline refined from oil. And the price of gasoline at $4.19, and that is, I believe I heard that was the average in California. What's the average across the country? Do you know?
I'd have to look it up, Phil, but it's a lot lower than that. $4.19 is the average in the state of California.
Well, we're doing a national show, so what's the average in the state of in the country? It's $3.84? Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. I want to ask you a question. Our number is 877-876-7445. Why don't you just lower, if you can't lower the price of gas, which you say that you cannot.
It's not me making a claim, Mr. Hendry. I'm telling you that I cannot. I'm not saying that I can. I can't. All right? And I resent a little bit you making it sound as if I'm concocting some story.
All right. Then you can't. You cannot lower the price of a gallon of gasoline anymore. Why not lower the costs that you are passing on, the costs that that the consumer is absorbing at your service stations, why not lowering the price of other products? You know.
Well, I'm not going to lower it here. Are you talking about the price of oil, for instance? Or?
Well, yeah, oil, the price of anything in your store, the price of a candy bar.
No, you can't do that. I can't do that.
Why can't you? Why can't you, in other words, do something to say to the consumer, that visits your service station for gasoline, I understand these prices are really high. Let me try to chop your expense someplace else.
I can't do that. And the reason why I can't do that is because I am a businessman, and I am a man, you know, let me explain a little bit to you, Phil. I don't know how much you know. I don't mean to be condescending, but I really don't know how much you know about life and how life is lived. And
I know plenty, sir, okay?
All right. Well, okay, great. I had a father that looked at me like I was nothing. He looked at me like I was nothing. And he dumped in my lap a kid brother that at the age of 16 had to have diapers changed. I had no problem with that. At the age of 16, he needed to have someone come in the bathroom to wipe him. I still have that brother.
And I commend you for that.
No. Hold on. You're not going to get to give a speech here. I'm going to tell you the whole story. My father, even though I put up with all of that, my father looked at me and said, "You aren't going to employ. You wouldn't amount to." I know. You know, he didn't think I was going to amount to anything. And I took over these service stations, and I turned them back over to Dave during the school year after I got them up and running, and they started turning one hell of a profit. And I did all of that, and still took care of my kid brother, who now works here. He's an assistant mechanic. He's sitting to be honest with you, Phil, right now, he's sitting in the maintenance bay right now. And I love him dearly. And I said to him, you know, when you see a car come in, Dave, go ding ding. Or not Dave, his name is Jeff. But I said, Jeff, when you hear a car come in, go ding ding. So when you hear Jeff say ding ding, a car's coming in.
And what does that mean, Dave? Oh, the bell?
The bell, yeah. Now, nobody, and I mean nobody, after my old man said to me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of turd, and I spent half my time wiping his rear end, no one's going to tell me that I don't get to get mine, and I don't get to get my fair share. Now, it's been a long time since my father passed on. God bless him, and God rest his soul.
Yes.
But I'm a businessman. And while I feel for the average person out there, when you say to me, why don't you lower your price, I don't even know. You might as well be speaking Swahili. I don't speak that language. I'm an American businessman. In the middle of a world gone mad, in the middle of a world where people are socializing communism, in the middle of worlds where economies are being taken over by governments, with the government getting more and more and more of my money, I'm an American businessman, brother. And when I hear people come in here and they say you charge too much for a price of gas, it's all I can do to keep from putting my hands on their throat and pressing my thumbs into that soft part of the neck.
And well, you know something? That's a little bit hypertense, man.
Excuse me?
You know, you can have all you want of this world's profits and making profits and business and taking care of your brother. God bless you for that, Vernon, and all of those things. But when you say that somebody came in and started complaining about the price of gas and you want to strangle them.
I've had it. Do you understand? I've listened to a father tell me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of cat box. He said I would. Boy. Oh, man. My father looked at me one day and he said, "You know what? If you were Johnny Cat, I wouldn't pour you into that plastic tumbler." Can you imagine a father saying that to a son? And when he died, and I told him that I loved him, and I watched as my father passed on, and as soon as he died, this is what I did. You want to know what I did, Phil?
Go ahead.
I went this way.
Hey. Yeah, baby.
And my mother was angry, and my brothers ran. I said, you know what? I was due that.
You got some issues, brother, you know?
Oh, here we go with the issues. I heard the last guy had issues, too.
Well, that is just, you know, 877. Taking it out on the customers is unfair. Taking it out on your customers and saying you're going to strangle them, unfair. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Yvonne in Tucson. Hi, Yvonne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hey, how you doing? This guy cracks me up.
I'm good, man.
This guy cracks me up.
He's sitting here
saying what a Christian he is and how he swears to God that he would do this and he would do that. Yet
yes,
everything he is doing exemplifies the greed in our country. and is contradictory to the Christian religion. Now, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not going to fight it on that level.
Okay,
but,
then you can't comment. Then you can't
comment.
Are you Native
American? About our
you
country need? Is laced with greed, and that's our problem. And everybody talks about how what we need to do is we need to curb greed. Yet nobody is willing to be the first as a businessman and step up and curb their own greed.
We need to stand up like business people and start making a profit again in this country like we used to. We don't need to curtail profits.
I am a business owner, and I do it on integrity, and I do it on righteousness.
Let me ask
I don't
question.
Do it
this
on
is,
this greed,
is Yvonne,
and
this is
I
Phil.
Make
what
money.
Do you, what do you sell? What is your business?
I own a wine shop.
A wine?
I own
well,
a
what
wine
a
shop.
Child you are.
A wine shop, huh? So you sell to all those rich people. You sell to rich
I'm
people.
I'm sorry?
You sell to rich people. You know who I deal with, ma'am? I deal
to
with the regular people?
People
every day.
The concept of the concept, you look it up on the internet. The concept of my shop is everything is under $15. I am there to sell to the average individual. I do not dream people.
Well, that sounds like
I do not take advantage of people. And I do not use Christianity as my basis for being able to rip people off.
Ma'am, if you operate a wine store on Skid Row, there's something right there that needs to be discussed because those men are getting fortified wine. And
what do you mean Skid Row?
Well, she says everything's under $15.
What's that? What's that? Why is that Skid Row? Are you aware of what's happening
well, I mean,
in the wine industry?
The wine, there's some very good wine for $3. But what's that, $2, Chuck, Yvonne? There's some good wine that's.
If you're going to talk about Blanco, we're not going to go there because I don't sell Blanco's wines. I don't sell Blanco's wines.
Are you selling Sneaky Pete? Are you selling Sneaky Pete? Are you selling Boone's Farm? Yes, ma'am.
The point I'm trying to make is that you're saying that you're basing your business on greed.
Hold on. What is that?
That's hold on for a minute. That's Jeff. Jeff, shut up. Jeff, shut up. It's my brother. I'm sorry.
What's a setup?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Jeff. What's that? My brother Jeff was making a noise in the background. That's all.
Well, why don't you tell him to have a little bit of coos? I'm sure he's a Christian, too. So just tell him to have a little bit of coos.
He's mentally retarded. Excuse me. He's developmentally disabled. He's developmentally disabled, if you'll pardon me, ma'am. He's retarded.
Well, we don't like to use the word retarded.
I'm empathetic towards that, and you would think that would make you empathetic towards several things as well. But the fact that you're feeding off
my
of greed,
you're
here to make a buck, and you don't care how you make a buck.
Hold on. If you don't shut up, do you want to see me slug my brother? Because with you talking... And
what is it with you, Vernon? I want to know. You want to strangle customers. You want to slug your brother. You're making a profit. You're making a nice profit. You got a gas station. You tell everybody you're in pain. All right, you're in pain. I would have more respect for you if you said, you know what? It's pretty good times to be a gas station operator. I'm sorry about people having to charge all the money, but hey. But instead, you are making money. You're threatening to strangle customers if they complain about the price. You're going to beat up your brother who is developmentally disabled.
Background going, ooh.
And you're a Christian.
Yes, ma'am,
I mean,
I'm a Christian.
Give me a break. Then act like a Christian. You know, who was it, Gandhi, that said, I'll become a Christian when I meet one?
Gandhi? Who's he?
Yeah.
The Indian man who was...
I'll become a Christian when I meet one.
I never heard of him.
Act like a Christian. And a Christian is supposed to be unconditional, they're supposed to be loving, they're supposed to emulate Jesus Christ.
I do as much as I can, but you know something, ma'am? I do.
I haven't heard a single word
that you
said to emulate Jesus Christ.
All my Christianity got worn out with my brother here, my brother Jeff. That's all the Christianity I got.
Really? And you were going to slug him?
Because this lady's voice was getting on my nerves.
You know something? You got very little patience for a guy that works for the people, especially a gas station owner. and especially a guy that's making the kind of jack you're pulling down these days. Thank you very much for your call, Yvonne. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Ben in Tampa. Hi, Ben. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
Hello. I just got a simple question,
yes,
Mr. Dozier. I understand what you're talking about when you say, yeah, I want to strangle people because they keep belly aching about gas prices.
Yes, sir.
Now, okay. Now, the only issue I have, and it's you know, you can interject when you feel like it, but when your gas prices go up due to speculation, okay,
You paid
for fuel that is delivered to your stations.
Don't shut up.
I'm going to use a rough example. Okay.
All right.
If you've got $4.19 a gallon on your sign saying I'm charging $4.19 a gallon.
Right.
But you paid $4.15 a gallon when it was delivered. And then a week later, the speculators say, okay, gas is going to go up to oil is going to go up to $130 a barrel. And immediately, the very next day, you charge 10 cents more a gallon
for
fuel that you have already paid a certain amount for.
I'd be an idiot if I didn't do that.
No, I know what this gentleman's saying. You've already paid for that fuel, but since you know that in the future they're buying oil for a certain price, you're going to go ahead and jack the price now. That's gouging.
That's not gouging. That's greed. That's being downright wanting to break it off into your neighbor, buddy.
Hey, it got broken off into me when I was a kid. And you know what it was? It was my brother Jeff. They stuck him in and broke it off. And now I've had to deal with that.
What difference does it make
your brother, Jeff, you know.
You have issues with your brother. If you can't handle him, you need to put him to somebody that can.
Right.
Because, I have had to deal, and I hate the word retarded myself. I literally despise the word. I had to deal with a challenged relative that drowned in a swimming pool because she wasn't watched when I wasn't there. So don't think you've got all these problems because you're dealing with a brother. We've all had to deal with problems that we don't
lucky,
have.
Though.
What do you mean consider yourself lucky?
Well, Jeff's still
here. You need to consider
that's a hell of a thing to say.
Your brother's still there.
Lucky? I've been trying to talk to you here for the last 20 minutes, and in the background you're listening to this guy with a woo-woo-woo, all that stuff, right? I wish I'd get some customers so that he'd go ding-ding or something.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you're not hearing what anybody's saying. Thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate great call, though, Ben. Thank you. You're not hearing what anybody is saying. They're basically saying this. You know, there is such a thing as neighborliness. There's such a thing as being a businessman who knows how to deal in the community. You know, you know your friends. You say you know your friends and you know your neighbors and you know all of the people that visit your station. And yet these very simple things that gentleman was talking about, you don't want to do because way back when your old man said you wouldn't amount to a pile of Johnny Cat.
Oh, here we go. See, I knew you'd laugh. Oh, hold on. What a funny man. What a great stand-up act.
All right, you know.
Don't act put upon, Mr. Henry. I'm the one that's put upon, okay? A long time ago. All right, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. If you can get him under control, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with our final segment with Vernon Dozier as we talk about the high price of gasoline here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have our news and information hour next hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. With me is Vernon Dozier. We've had a spirited conversation, both on and off the air. Mr. Dozier is a member of the board at Belmar Academy, a varsity football coach at Belmar, as well as the math and science teacher for their junior and seniors. And he is also the owner-operator of two service stations, along with his family. In Glendale, we're talking about gas prices. And you know, Vernon, I will only say to you, sir, that the price of gasoline, you know, is a high price of gasoline. When you keep saying that you have no choice, that you are not going to lower the price of gas because of the way your father treated you, we have no way of arguing. We're not even having a rational conversation any longer.
We are having a rational conversation. As I said to you during this commercial break, we are having a rational conversation with regard to me because of the... You've been listening to my brother, and you know a little bit about my family. And if a consumer already knows the price of gas is high and keeps coming in day after day after day, boy, that price of gasoline is really high, Mr. Dozier. Boy, that price of gasoline is very high. You know, I said to one lady, and she's a customer of mine, I said, you go to hell. And I was shocked that I said it. And she looked at me. I don't think I've seen her since, and I don't blame her. But that's how it affected me.
You told a customer to go to hell.
Yes, sir, I did.
And all she was doing was complaining about the price of gasoline.
All she was doing? What have I been...
All she was doing. 877-876-7445. Here is Jason in Durham, North Carolina. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jason. How you going, Phil? You know, first of all, straight to the point. I managed a gas station for a lady that owned 6 gas stations in the North Carolina area. And when the gas had got up to $4 back here when President Bush was the president, this lady stopped the gas at $3.25 at every one of her gas stations, every one, until gas came back down to $2.89. That was the furthest she would take it. She had her own refinery, and she had her own gas station. So you tell Vernon, don't he sit up there.
She had her own refinery. She had her own refinery. I don't have my own refinery. That's ridiculous.
You don't have to sit up there and come out. I can't do this to the gas. I can't do this. You know what? Your key point was, I'm a businessman. You know, dude, you're
that's right.
You're in it for the Rolls Royce that you got sitting in your driveway. You're in it for the kids that you got going to college. See what I'm saying? No.
You're not even listening to
yourself. And then I'm going to let you know. I'm going to tell you, you full of crap. If you feel the pain as much as you feel about people, you wouldn't take the gas up to $4.19 yourself. You can take it down to $3.99 and leave it
no,
there.
No, I can't, you because I don't have my own refinery like this whole bag has.
You don't because you're a businessman and you want the money. And I mean, I'm on the phone, I'm only listening to you. Why are you crying about your brother being missing the
car coming in? Why are you going ding ding?
You don't feel a crap. You got the same dog.
If you say ding ding one more, I got a brother saying ding ding. Do you understand? If I got a kid brother going ding ding,
Phil,
what do you think I'm gonna do?
Ding ding.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Make you feel like a queen. Are there some things that we can do right now?
We need our teachers, we need our advisors, we need our administrators.
Freedom! Slut! Freedom! Slut!
They short you, they skirt short!
Skirt! Short!
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about.
Freedom!
That's right. We take you places other talk shows cannot. And our website is philhenryshow.com for live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio of the show, as well as our archives, as well as just a passel of fun things like our daily podcasts and our classic Phil podcasts. And, I mean, we got it going on. We also have... things archived, pilots, TV pilots, TV interviews, radio interviews we did, our press section, our news blog, our comments section. It's all there for you at philhenryshow.com. It's the greatest single radio show website in the world, And we invite you to join us there. Go to our shop, by the way, and pick up the new Phil Hendry Show T-shirt. And we're going to have, we got another little item that's coming into the store. And, of course, the classic collectible, the Phil Hendry Show shot glass. This is a 2.5-ounce cordial. I say cordial figuratively speaking.
Yeah, you know, you can be cordial with that.
Well, you can be a gentleman. Anyway, you load that up with some tequila and Then we have the coffee mug and, of course, our legacy CDs, all there at philhendryshow.com. Now, I've been encouraged to do this first story. I was actually reading something else, but I'll do the other story, right, Robert?
Well, I'm thinking later on in the hour, man, because it's too weird.
All right. Well, we were talking about, for some reason, we got into people that have been missing. But this is going to be a better story, and this is going to piss you off. Pardon my language, but it is. It's going to piss you off, and one of the reasons why stories like these, quote-unquote, piss me off, is because the liberal who has failed desperately in his attempts at being ironic, sarcastic, satiric, liberals who at one time held the floor, if you will, in America when it came to political or cultural humor, liberals haven't been funny for 30 years. And yet they keep trying, and as they continue to keep trying, they fall all over themselves and embarrass themselves. And the great thing about a liberal, I'll tell you this, they are wrong probably 70% of the time, and they know it. But they just keep right on. They just pick themselves right up, and they just keep right on walking with a big smile on their face. They're like liberals are like cats. You know how George Carlin used to say a cat would slam. That's the last time, by the way, a liberal was funny, George Carlin. Anyway, you know, cats will slam into a door, and then they walk away from slamming into the door like it was no big thing, and they feel just fine, and they got all kinds of class. That's a liberal. They'll wind up looking like the biggest ass in the world, but they just walk away with all that grace and all of that charm. You want to know what I'm talking about in terms of liberals who have never been funny? All you got to do is read the Huffington Post, the just the pathetic attempts at humorous blogging on that site. They've had to pull half of them down. They come off as almost as criminally lame. And Ariana comes along and she looks like the dumbass that she is when it comes to that stuff. I ain't saying she's stupid. I mean, obviously, when it comes to making money and when it comes to blowing a lot of hot air up people's rear ends and when it comes to blowing a lot of smoke, I mean, is there anybody better than Ariana Huffington? But when it comes to knowing what's funny, forget it. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about her with this story. This is Wonkette, which is a, quote, popular, satirical, left-leaning political blog. Popular, I'll tell you who's funny that's left-leaning. John Stewart. Sometimes. Bill Maher. Sometimes. And that's it. I mean, that is it. Wonkette, the popular, satirical, left-leaning political blog, has deleted a post mocking Sarah Palin's son, Trigg. Now, how many times have they had to delete posts about Sarah Palin's son, Trigg? How many times, when I say they, I put them all together? All these unfunny, stale, these moth-eaten liberal humorists. They haven't, like I said, they haven't been funny or relevant in 30 years. And what do? They find a kid who is developmentally disabled as a likely target. Last night we had on Margaret Gray, who was talking about this the horrible lady who posted the Obama picture, and it was a horrible thing to do, absolutely. But you know, the fact of the matter is, the left they jumped right into the race baiting with Condoleezza Rice, with Clarence Thomas. We found out how many rabid racists there were on the left with the Clarence Thomas hearings. I mean, it was almost as if they had just, like, that's why I brought up the Dixiecrats. They reverted their Dixiecrat roots with the Clarence Thomas hearings, with the do-rag on Condoleezza Rice and the Aunt Jemima. Again, stale, unfunny. Hi, I'm a liberal, but, you know, when it comes to mocking someone with a stereotype profile of the Aunt Jemima do-rag, I mean, come on, man, you got to let us have one. We're white! That's the other thing about most of these liberal outlets, nothing but whitey. Nothing but whitey, like Oberman when he was on MSNBC, or any of those guys. My God, it was lily white from sunup to sundown on that network. And then Oberman is on there talking about self-hating blacks like Michael Steele. I mean, these people with the gall they had, the utter gall. Wonkette, the popular satirical left-leaning political blog, has deleted a post mocking Sarah Palin's son, Trigg, who has Down syndrome, after many of its advertisers announced that they would withdraw their advertisements from the site. Well, now we know just how classy they are at Wonkette. You guys love to hunch a dollar bill, don't you? Because if your advertisers hadn't threatened to pull, man, you would have kept that up. You don't know the difference between tasteless and tasteful, funny and unfunny. All you know is when an advertiser says we're leaving. The post implied Trigg was the byproduct of incest and was labeled retarded. Papa John's, Huggies, Vanguard, and at least six other companies had announced that they would withdraw their ads from Wonkette. Wonkette editor Ken Lane. Now, here is a guy that is probably functionally retarded himself, if you want to go down that road, Ken Lane, because if this ass doesn't understand that a post like that is going to get a advertiser like Huggies upset, then he doesn't understand the job he's got. He goes on to try to explain, if you have to explain any satire at all to any great number of people, and let me tell you about satire, because I know all about it. If you have to explain any kind of satire at all to a large number of people, you have failed. The perception is that you're a jackball, and the reality is you better start apologizing. And we can quote our very good, close, personal friend David Letterman for that little lesson when he himself, not too long ago, got into the mock Sarah Palin's children game, and he found out that he'd made a mistake, and he said, in print, perception is everything. I should have known. Maybe my target was correct. Maybe I hit the target. But if people perceive that it was about something that it wasn't really about, that's on me. That's not on them. That's on me. And that's something that this jackass at Wonkette, Ken Lane, he don't know that. He maintains the true target of the post was the former governor of Alaska, not her son. A post on this page satirizing Sarah Palin using her baby as a political prop was very badly done and sounded like the author was mocking the child and not just Sarah Palin's followers, Wonkette said in a note explaining the deletion. We apologize for the poor comedic judgment. You don't know a damn thing about comedy. Not a thing! The post authored by some jackass in, quote, honor, end quote, of Trigg's recent birthday implied the boy may have been conceived as the result of incest. Let's listen to this piece of humor, shall we? Today is the day we come together to celebrate the Snowbilly Grifter's magical journey from Texas to Alaska to deliver to America the great gentleman scholar Trigg Palin. Is Palin his true mother, or was Bristol? And why is it that nobody questions who the father is? Because either way, Todd definitely did it. I'm telling you, I know what funny is. That ain't funny. That's not even moderately amusing. He goes on to attack Trigg. What's he dreaming about? Nothing. He's retarded. This guy, Mr. Stuff is his name, must be a terribly embittered human being. When your humor comes off angry, man, go back, take another run at it. I know. I got to do it every night. He goes on, why just celebrate the tax day today, April 18th? It's Trigg Paxson Van Palen's third birthday. His mom went to a lot of trouble to leak amniotic fluid over 8 states to make sure that he arrived in this world somewhat alive, writes Wonkette operative Barbara I, reminding us of the occasion. Sarah went to a whole bunch of trouble to name him Van Palin, a Van Halen reference he will never get. Before the post was taken down, it had been updated with an apology from Stuff. I regret this post and using the word retarded in a reference to Sarah Palin's child. It's not nice and is not necessary, but I take responsibility for writing it. For those who came and are offended by this post, I'm sorry, of course, but I stand by my criticism of Sarah Palin using her child as a political prop. You stand by what, man? You don't even know what you wrote. You stand by it. You'd stand by a stick of dynamite, man, with the fuse lit. You're the kind of jackass that would stand by the sky being green, even while we all know that it's blue. You'd stand up, though, for that. You wouldn't let anybody wear you down on that one now, would you, Jack Stuff? I believe the sky is green, and I stand by it. Well, very good. I'm so utterly impressed with the fact you think the sky is green. This guy would stand by, he would lean on a busted rail with a drop of about 300 yards, man. He'd stand by that one, too. Papa John made their feelings known on the post. Thank you for alerting us to this. We've taken steps to make sure our advertising doesn't appear on that site in the future, tweeted Papa John's Pizza Corporate Twitter account. Wonkette shot back at Papa John's tweeting, we beat up on Sarah Palin's craven use of her son as a political prop. Child Protective Services should take Trigg away. That was Wonkette's first reaction. That Child Protective Services should take this child away from Sarah Palin because she's got a kid that she's photographed with. Because the irrational hatred of Sarah Palin, the unbelievably irrational and shopworn and redundant hatred of Sarah Palin, which I believe is the result of a lack of political sophistication on the left, they don't know what else to criticize. They got nothing else to attack. So Wonkette saying that they're sorry. Apparently they weren't originally because they shot back on their Twitter account that Sarah Palin, why the craven use of Sarah Palin, and this is very typical. It's typical like that stupid clown. Who was that piece of garbage that, you remember that one guy, that Arab?
Oh, yeah. I forget what the guy's name was, but he was talking about something. He was trying to apologize, too.
Look, at man, either you say you're sorry or you don't say you're sorry, but don't say you're sorry and then say, however, we stand by. You stand by what? However, I stand by the fact that I self-mutilated with a rusty tuna can lid. I stand by that. Anyway, when Mediate.com's Tommy Christopher, who I don't know whether to follow those guys or not.
Yeah, I don't either, man. Sometimes they remind me of a really funny Daily Kos.
That's a very good description of Mediate. They're a funny Daily Kos. But not that much funnier. Daily Kos ain't funny at all. Daily Kos is like the Huffington Post. It's like a really, really irritatingly lame, blog site. But Mediate, or however they pronounce it, it can be very amusing. But nonetheless, I mean, you guys, you got to be kidding me. You guys are, you're not objective. You're not anything other than the rest of this crap. All right. When Mediate.com's Tommy Christopher, who is the father of special needs children, emailed the blog about the post asking editor Lane if he had any intention of removing it, he got this response from Lane. On whose account are you requesting that Jack Stuff remove a post mocking Sarah Palin's well-documented use of her special needs child as a political prop? Is this coming from Mediate? Which editor? So Mediate wants you to encourage political satire websites to remove items that offend those who support the targets of the mockery. That seems awfully strange for Mediate. Which editor is encouraging this is what I'm asking. Well, sir, Mr. Lane, you don't know what satire is because the object of the satire has to be very clear. It cannot be a sympathetic target, and the perception of the audience was your target was a sympathetic target, which was the child. So you may have thought your target was something, but everybody perceived it to be something else. So you wrote it very poorly, as you said eventually. It was not very well done, as you said eventually. And it's your interpretation that she uses the child as a political prop. And it's a weak, weak-ass interpretation, especially when we see President Obama and Mrs. Obama photographed with their daughters all the time. In a post on Mediate, Christopher slams Stuff's jokes. This is the man with the special needs child. Hey, that's really funny calling Trigg a gentleman scholar because he has Down syndrome and the speculation that Todd Palin may have raped his daughter, pure comedy gold. You know what will even be funnier? The first time Jack Stuff runs into Todd Palin. That one practically writes its own punchline. When I first heard about this, I was of course outraged. Who wouldn't be? I've read a lot of offensive things in my career, and I've even been fired over them, but I am hard-pressed to think of anything that comes close to this. If there is any expression of disgust that I have failed to convey, consider this my signature on it. Signed, Mr. Tommy Christopher. And that is very, very well written. And right on the money, right on the money. Real comedy gold that Todd Palin raped his daughter. Funny. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Although this is our news and comment hour, we have Bud and Robert coming back with us. Louisiana has a creative new way to deal with deadbeat parents who would rather go to a casino than pay child support. Wait till you hear it. It's fantastic. $1 billion they owe children in the state of Louisiana, deadbeat dads. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio.
for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, this is a generation of liberals that spent many, many years, the liberal movement in this country spent many, many years being above the fray. The liberal movement in this country spent many, many years being above things. They weren't going to get down in the dirt. They were going to be intellectual and they were going to be biting and subtle and they were going to use the art of the put down very subtly, and they were going to just be above the rabble that was the Main Street conservative in America. But as they gradually got their ass kicked more and more and more and more, got their stupid ass handed to them more and more and more, and when I say stupid, I mean that very literally, because the true nature of the liberal came out, and that is that they really are kind of stupid. First of all, they don't recognize the world at all. They don't recognize the future at all, let alone what we're living in right now, the thing that we call contemporary times. They have no recognition of it, and certainly no solution for it, no real approach to solving the problem. Where once there was a big budget deficit that was created by George Bush because he squandered the surplus, now all of a sudden there's plenty of money. Now, how do we go from that? How do we go from Bush squandering the surplus to, wow, we got all kinds of money? Now, the other problem is that, because, like any losing side in any football or baseball or hockey or basketball game, they're getting desperate. And they're busting out all of the nasty tactics. They're blitzing, they're red-dogging, they're scratching, they're grabbing, they're thumbing. Doing all those things that we saw Max Baer do in the film Cinderella Man. Remember when James J. Braddock was finally taking it to the defending champion of the world, Max Baer, and Max Baer was pulling out all the stops. He was thumbing. He was kidney punching. He was talking about Braddock's wife when they went into clinches. He was doing every dirty, nasty thing. Well, this is the modern liberal. Every dirty, filthy, nasty thing they can think of, every lie. You can't call people liars. You can't call George Bush a liar, for instance, when you live by the lie. And the liberal must live by the lie. They must. It isn't their fault. It's the fact that, you know, either they got lied to, or they're going to have to make up some lie to make sure that people know they're a really good guy here, and they just got skewered somehow. Like Obama. Suddenly Obama's betraying them. You know, we were sitting here during the 2008 election, if you listen to our show, saying Barack Obama is going to be a scourge of liberals and Democrats. They're going to be pissed off at him. You mark my words. You watch it happen. It's going to happen. And it did happen. And all of a sudden, these stupid bastards are like, we didn't see it coming. Who told us? Why, he said he was going to. They didn't pay any attention during that campaign. They were too busy blowing up balloon animals. And Sarah Palin is a fascinating case in point. I believe that much of the criticism of her is driven by women. Rance disagrees, but we're both agreed on one thing. The hatred of Sarah Palin is an irrational one. The hatred of Sarah Palin is, if the liberals took a step back and took a look at themselves hating on Sarah Palin, they'd be embarrassed. They might even just do the honorable thing and go out in the woods so the pistol shot is muffled by the birds suddenly scattering from the trees. Yeah, just get out of here, man, because you have nothing to say when you keep leaning on Sarah Palin, when you keep writing blogs about Sarah Palin, when you keep talking about her kid Trigg. I mean, every year we got a new Trigg blog. There's something going on there, and I think it's called We Don't Know What Else to Write About. Everybody else is smarter than us. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Marilyn Davenport wants to know who leaked the Obama ape email. And we'll get to the Louisiana story on Deadbeat Dads.
Radio. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bud Dickman and Robert Lynn, I've been doing all the talking, huh?
Well, you know, a lot of times I like to listen to you.
Yeah, but you should give us a chance to talk, too, in case we have an idea of the of what we want to say.
Bud, you can butt in anytime you want, but I think I've been holding forth here rather well, so...
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know, it's something to cover up a passport.
Wow, that's pretty sweet, man. It's a leather cover for a passport. I think our artist friend Amanda Green sent this to us on my birthday, but I'm just now looking at that. That's beautiful, man. I'm showing up there. It is, that's kind of like having a cigarette case. Well, maybe not the same, but whoever thought of having a leather cover for your passport? Very nice.
Got a passport that you use to get out of country?
Yes, that's what the jeez.
You know what a passport is?
I don't know.
All right, but someday you may get one. But once they clear up your file on where you're from. Now,
I come from America.
Sure. Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Donald Trump. Just a short note about Donald Trump. We'll get into the Louisiana casinos to begin with, holding winnings from parents who owe back child support. And maybe I'll hold off on the Trump news until we get into something political, but I do have an observation on Donald Trump, and I'll tell you why. We were talking about Sarah Palin. We were talking about the hatred of Sarah Palin by lefties and how it is they just keep harping on this woman, and what is your problem? And, okay, I get it already. I mean, I understand already what it is your problem is. You don't like her. Okay, fine. Anything else that we can do for you?
Well, don't you understand it?
No, what you don't understand is there isn't a conservative out there that's got 5 cents worth of brains between their ears that ever thought Sarah Palin was going to be president of the United States. Now, that's just the facts, Jack. You could have asked the heaviest hitters in the Republican Party right after the 2008 election, do you think Sarah Palin is going to have a chance in 2012? And they would have told you, hell no. No. We got problems with her, man. We don't need to be going. I'm not criticizing Governor Palin's political philosophy, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't. And as a conservative, I can tell you, folks, there's a lot about Sarah Palin that I do not agree with. But I will say this. To keep haranguing that woman when you think she's going to be a viable candidate for the presidency proves that you've got nothing but cement between your ears. Go do something else for a living. Stuff. No wonder your last name's Stuff. I think it's because you ain't got enough stuff. I think it's because you have to stuff certain parts of your anatomy. And I think it's because most of the stuff you write is just cat stuff. So we were talking about, who is the viable candidate? Now we came to guess who? Donald Trump. Now, I'll never live down my rotten predictions of the 28 campaign. I thought it was Giuliani and Hillary Clinton's to lose. Actually, I think I was right, but I had no idea that Giuliani was as much of a lightweight. He was just a lightweight. He did not want to get in and mix it up. He did not want to get in there and mix it up and kick a little bit of ass, and that hurt him. Hillary Clinton, she coasted, and suddenly here comes Barack Obama, and suddenly we're off to the races there. So, you know, you live and you learn. But here is the thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, first of all, I'm driving home the other night, Sunday night. I'm listening to a local talk show here in Los Angeles. And I have no freaking idea. It's a sports station I usually listen to. But for some reason on Sunday night, they have on a talk show. And this guy was saying things that were so absolutely stupid that even I was getting, I recognize that most talk radio is performed by some of the most unbelievably dumb human beings that God ever let live past the cradle. I mean, you can't even, you do, you know what I'm talking about. But this guy, holy God. Then I realized, wait a second, it's Sunday night, he's trying to get phone calls. I get it. He's saying stupid stuff because he's trying to get phone calls. What stupid stuff was he saying? What stupid stuff was he saying? Let me tell you what stupid stuff he was saying. This guy, and he thought he was a real genius, this guy said, I got money that says this Donald Trump thing is not serious, it's a stunt.
Oh yeah, the guy thought it was done. I remember that guy said that.
Yeah, and somebody else said the same thing.
Well, anybody that says that Trump's run for the presidency or his appearing at these different venues and at these different events to give speeches in advance of some presidential announcement like he's not serious? They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Yes, he's serious. Of course he's serious.
Well, how come they're saying they're not serious?
I'll tell you what. First of all, the people that are saying he's not serious don't know a damn thing about Donald Trump. This jackball who I was listening to on the radio thought that the only thing Trump had ever done in his life was host Celebrity Apprentice. And he had an interesting hairdo. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump just came into the limelight like, I don't know, it was just spontaneous combustion. Reverse. I mean, the guy's a businessman for decades. Decades and decades and decades. Was making news since the late 1970s, pulling these real estate deals. Wall Street Journal this, Wall Street Journal, all the time. You know, he was the owner of a professional football team, and he had a very interesting, I told you the quote, he owned the New Jersey Generals of the old United States Football League, Donald Trump did, and he signed Herschel Walker. He did very big things even back then when the USFL, which was a spring football league that was being tried out, and would have been actually a very good idea had they not busted the self-imposed or the self-articulated salary structure that they had. In any event, Donald Trump was asked, what the hell are you doing owning a football team? And he said a very obvious thing. He said, I make billion-dollar real estate deals that are on the back page of the Wall Street Journal. The minute I buy a football team, I'm on the front page. That's why I bought a football team. Because it's a billboard for your business. It's a billboard for these multimillionaires. These guys that can afford it, this is more than buying a billboard. It's more than taking out an ad in the Wall Street Journal. It's more than being invited to speak at some fellow's dinner. It's more than being seen with the President of the United States. It's more than being invited to address Congress. This is bigger than anything, man, owning a professional sports franchise as a way of advertising your business. Of course, Donald Trump's serious about being President of the United States. There's no question in the world. No question at all. Now, he was interviewed on CNN. I didn't hear it. They said it was very contentious. I don't give a crap. But there was one thing that I think happened there that one of the hosts said, are you going to really think you're going to be taken seriously if you are haranguing this birth certificate thing? And he said, yes, I think I am. I don't think he's serious there. He can't be. But nonetheless, yeah, he's serious, Donald Trump. Don't even worry about it. So the next time you hear somebody say, it's a joke. No, it's not a joke, man. Not a joke at all. And I don't know if he'll make it as a Republican nominee. I don't know if he'll try to run a third-party candidacy. It's possible. But he did say he would not because he knows who that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the Republican nominee. And Donald Trump said, I would rather have the Republican elected and me not run than me run and hurt the chances of the Republican Party. So don't worry about it. He's serious through and through. Louisiana casinos to begin withholding support winnings from parents who owe back child support. Should I talk about this?
I don't know, man.
I thought that Donald Trump was way better.
Well, I'm all done with Donald Trump. What the hell else do you want me to say?
Talk a little bit more about how he, how that guy's a dumbass.
What guy?
The guy who was on the radio.
He was just a dumbass. What do you want me to say? These people don't believe that Trump is serious about running for president of the United States. Yes, he is. Is he going to get elected? I don't know. I'm going to go back here now to Louisiana casinos. This is very important. Louisiana casinos, now listen to this, will begin withholding the winnings of parents who owe back child support next month. The Louisiana Gaming Board Control Board said after setting rules for the process, if you owe back child support and you win more than $1,200 at a Louisiana casino, guess what? Your ass gets garnished.
What do you mean garnished? Like, you're not talking about parsley.
Oh, man, you're stupid.
No, I'm asking.
Parsley.
You said garnish.
Man, he's talking. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. Shut up, man.
All right. Wait. Hold on, okay?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, parsley, man? Garnishing wages.
Yeah, I know. But you talking about parsley. Garnish.
Talking about taking the money out, you dumbass.
Come on. I'm going to kick both you guys out of here. You got to admit, man.
I don't know what it means.
Garnish means to withhold or to take a certain amount. Parsley.
I thought you were talking about something.
No. I know what you thought. I know what you thought. You thought that they were going to take a sprig of parsley and drop
You're an idiot, man.
Shut up, man.
Were they going to put a sprig of parsley, man, on a roll of ones?
I thought that's what garnish was.
Use your brains, okay? Use the brains that the good Lord gave you. Garnish your wages doesn't mean they're going to drop a sprig of parsley on a roll of 20s. It means they're going to withhold a certain amount of money.
Let me tell you something, man. When the IRS starts fooling around with your money, I walked into the bank once. I thought right then and there, I had nothing to lose. I thought I would just go ahead and rob the bank. I walked up to, I don't know who it was, one of the bankers there. I sat down and she said, "Oh my God, Mr. Hendry." I said, "What?" $60,000 is missing from one of your accounts. She said, "Oh, it's the federal government. I said, "What are you talking?" Now, naturally, when you say, "What are you talking about?" Generally in life, when the first person you say the phrase, "What are you talking about?" to generally knows the least of what it is you need to know. That's probably the last person you should ask. "What are you talking about, man?" It's probably, talking to the doorman or something, The good news was it turned out that the Federals, in all of their wisdom, had taken money out of my account for a tax year that was not the right tax year. They were supposed to get the money for another tax year, and that money had been sent in. So they screwed up, and they do it a lot. And when the IRS screws up, there is nothing more inconvenient in this world. There is nothing that it'll take hours out of your life. It'll take days off of your life. It'll take years and years off of your emotional well-being. It'll put you in a hospital. When the IRS screws up and you got to go about the business of straightening out what they messed up, it can kill you. That's how fouled up those clowns can get things. Now, I understand that they're hardworking people and they mean well. I'm not trying to disparage, and I'm not. And I know that there's some people who got a real problem in the IRS. You're not going to get any sympathy from me, man. Welcome to the freaking world, okay? And because you don't like paying taxes, man, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, well, it's all unconstitutional and I'm going to go up in the hills with my guns and start shooting FBI agents. Because all of a sudden, you just don't want to pay taxes anymore. Well, I don't want to pay taxes anymore either. What do you think the likelihood is that we're not going to have to pay taxes anymore? How about zero? You think there's going to be a big revolution, huh? You think the American people are going to get up and say, "Let's revolt against Zog, the Zionist occupational government, and let's get rid of this taxation nation and get rid of all these Jews and all this stuff"? Do you honestly believe that in the greatest country that the world has ever seen, we got something better to replace it with? You think you do? Think again. These people, they go up in the hills and they're fighting the IRS and the FBI and no constitutional right to tax me. And you think you got something better? You think I want to live under a set of rules that you came up with, you freaking hillbilly? I don't like paying taxes. Believe me, I don't like paying taxes, all right? But me and every other clown here with me, all of us standing shoulder to shoulder here, the American people, yes, we are, marching into the future and all that baloney, we're paying taxes. Now, here comes these deadbeat dads. These guys really piss me off. It's one thing, man, you want to hold back. You got a problem with your ex-wife. Okay, you got a problem with your ex-wife. I understand. I understand these women, they can drive you out of your mind. I understand that. You may have a valid case. She is a B-I-T-C, and it rhymes with, Mache.
Mache.
Anyway, and I understand that you have all kinds of very good and valid reasons for hating her living guts. Okay, it's sad, isn't it? It's sad that we have to talk this way. But when you take it out on your kids, man, when you don't pay your child support, I don't give a damn if you got to lay the check on her. Give the check to her. And if she isn't giving those kids the right kind of support that she's supposed to through the monies that you have been, by law, by court order, paying her, then you can take her ass into a courtroom and really do a number on her. But only then. You're paying your child support and you're finding out that that money is not getting to those children, that she's spending it on wigs or on, trips to Vegas or whatever the hell she's doing. Then you can go to a judge and say, "Hey, my children are not being taken care of." But you ain't even doing that, deadbeat. So what they're doing in Louisiana is they're garnishing these slobs that go into the casino. You imagine a father that owes money for his kids going into a casino? And if you win more than $1,200, guess what? They're going to find your ass on a database, and they're going to garnish your winnings from that casino. It's a very, very good law. I'll be interested to see how successful they are. But in the state of Louisiana, $1 billion in child support is owed. $1 billion. How a man can look himself in the mirror. I don't give a crap how pissed off you are at your ex-wife. To look yourself in the mirror in the morning knowing that you owe this money, you ought to go to jail, man. That's what I think. I think they're letting these guys off. In any event, you go gambling in Louisiana, they are going to begin to garnish. And I don't know, maybe that's a good way to pay it off.
I was
going to
say, if a guy want to pay off your child support, go and get a, and win money.
But if your ass owes child support, you got no business going into a casino at all.
Yeah, but like you just said, what if you win enough money to pay it off?
Well, if that's what you're banking on, man, going into a casino to win enough money to pay off your child support, you're dumber than you look. You ain't going to win that much money. And if you did, you sure as hell don't want to give it to your kids. If you're a deadbeat, you're a deadbeat. The last thing you want to do with money is give it to your children.
You don't think they want to pay for them?
No, I don't. I don't. They're scumbags. It's too bad. And these guys, they use their children against the wife, and the wife uses the kids against them. And these two people, all they want to do is kill each other. And the children are in the middle. All they want are a couple of parents that love. I mean, it's the saddest thing in the history of the world, man, to look at how men and women fall apart sometimes. All right, we're coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Glad I could be an upper there, you know.
Yeah, that's really going to make me sleep nice tonight, man.
Oh, what's the matter, man? Don't you have your teddy bear?
Ah-ha, your teddy bear. Ah-ha.
Shut up, man.
All right. Marilyn Davenport wants to know who's the dirty rat that, ratted her out. Who's the cheese eater that leaked the racist email to the media? That's the issue. That's what Marilyn thinks is the big issue. Not the fact that that old dried-up crone is a racist. No, somebody leaked her monkey tattoo. I mean, her monkey email. Somebody probably leaked her monkey tattoo. In fact, we have a photograph of that. You don't want to see it. Phil Hendry Show.
Radio. Four patriots, five patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. More patriots, bye patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, by the way, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry, twitter.com/realphilhendry. But we're also on Facebook. The reason why I mentioned Facebook is because I was driving home today from a recording session that we had out in Santa Monica, and I'm driving up the 405 freeway, and I saw 1, 2, 3, 4 obvious military helicopters. I say military. They were marked in a way that made you think they were military or something. Well, they looked like they could have been Secret Service going across the 405. And so I turned on my camera and I recorded a little bit of that and some commentary. And it's, got some four-letter words in it, not because I was angry, but because I just, I was in the middle of traffic on the 405 looking up at these choppers. And I did video some of it. So if you go to my my Facebook page, not our homepage, not our website, but on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Phil Hendry. And there is a little video. It's only about a minute of, in fact, I could show it here on the, I can show it on our webcast, but I don't want to have the audio turned up.
No, man, I saw that. You're all like, F word.
It wasn't F word.
No, man, it was going like, you said S word.
S word. Maybe. God, bud.
Well, but you couldn't say it.
I know you can't say it, man. I'm going to try to get it up here on the... I should have thought of this sooner, but I didn't. Anyway, Marilyn Davenport is this racist... I mean, she's a very nice old lady, but she thinks that... She doesn't like Obama because he's black. And anyway, well, it seems that way. She sent out an email, and it had a picture of Obama, and he was with a monkey family. And I'm sure that she thought it was funny, or maybe she didn't. Here's an interview, because she believes that whoever leaked the email, they're the real culprit. Whoever leaked this email to the press, they're the real scum. In an interview on KTLA, Marilyn Davenport says she wants to know who leaked the email.
I would ask why it's so secretive as to which person sent it to the media. And
Let me ask a follow-up question back. Why is it so important to you to know that?
Well, I think any time someone's involved in something this serious, personally this serious, and the ramifications that it has had on me, they should come forward.
Well, Ms. Davenport, you are missing the boat by, a couple of weeks. Who leaked it is not important. The fact that you believe that if you keep your racist beliefs quiet and under wraps and behind closed doors,
then you're just beautiful and onward and upward. No. All right, I couldn't get our... go over to Facebook.com/Phil Hendren. You'll see my video of the choppers going over the 405 today as President Obama was landing and giving and holding forth at Sony and elsewhere. The Phil Hendren Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director. Oh, is that it? Bye.